Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. This is David Ivory, and I am broadcasting from the heartland of Israel. Today, we are going to be speaking about the very special guests who are coming from the United States, Mr. Greenblatt and Mr. Kushner, with the objective of reaching a deal. What's the deal? Are we selling a car? Are we buying a used sofa? Is the land of Israel bargaining chips to reach some kind of deal? I don't think so. I think that the heartland of Israel is the heritage of the Jewish people. And I am going to invite our friends, the American diplomats and envoys of President Trump, to come on a very special tour in the heartland of Israel. It might take a day, it might take a week, it might take a month. It will probably take many months, because you need, if you want to understand the connection of the Jewish people and the value of this place to our heritage, you're going to need to brush off your New York City business success, which is all good and fine and dandy, but you need to come here and get your hands dirty with the land, to work in the vineyards, to meet the people, to visit the schools, to see the factories, to read the Bible, and to see the Bible come to life here in the heartland of Israel. So I'm going to be speaking about this amazing wonderland, the heartland of Israel, and how our friends around the world who wish to wish us good need to spend more time here in the heartland of Israel, understanding how important this really is. We're not talking about headlines and the fake news in the New York Times. That's not really important to us. We're talking about the reality here on the ground. We're talking about the land that our fathers and mothers prayed to return to for throughout the long diaspora, through the long exile. While we lived in other lands, we faced this place, the heartland of Israel, Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and we prayed to return and to rebuild our holy city and to rebuild our towns and villages and to replant vineyards in the mountains of the Shomron. So if you want to help us for the future of this land and people, you need to come here and explore and understand what it's all about. Come back after this short news break and hear all about the heartland of Israel, our wonderland.
Hi, this is Heather Dean. Is your home sweet home just a place to hang your hat? Check out The Modern Jewish Home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. for practical advice from a wide variety of experts and innovators about relationships, getting organized, growing your business, nourishing your body and soul, and even having a good laugh. So make yourself at home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Israel time on The Modern Jewish Home here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back. This is David Ha'ivri, a Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Thank you for joining me, my loyal listeners. It is always a pleasure to share with you the news and views from here in the heartland of Israel, from the Shomron. I am broadcasting from my home studio at Kfar Tzapuach in the Shomron. And if you have not been here yet, you should definitely make a point to include this in your visit next time you come to Israel. Today I'm going to be speaking about our dear American friends from the Trump administration who are shuttling back and forth to the land of Israel. We're reading in the news that Mr. Greenblatt, Mr. Jason Greenblatt, the special advisor, the special envoy for President Trump for international interactions or whatever it is that his job position is, has just arrived again in Israel. And we're also reading that Mr. Jared Kushner is also on the way, and the two of them, according to the news reports, and of course we don't know what exactly to make from the news reports, because there is so much fake news going around
in the general media. And of course, the many journalists who have a certain agenda wish to use their ability to report the news. I'm saying news in air quotes, to report the news or to make up the news. And they have a lot of power. They can present the picture in the slant that they wish, and often they can make up reality, and then they cause the entire discussion to go in the direction of the news that they have reported, or the news that they have invented. So it's not always clear exactly what exactly is going on, and what the agenda is. But specifically, these two very important American diplomats are coming to Israel now. And according to the news, they are going to go back and forth between Jerusalem and Ramallah to meet with the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and the head of the PLO, the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, also known as Abu Mazen. And they, according to the news, are here to try to get a deal. President Trump is the deals man, and he wants to make a deal, and he believes that these two gentlemen have the ability to advance that deal. There are many, many aspects of what's going on that are disappointing. It's disappointing that the new Trump administration is picking up where the Obama administration left off, and seeing this platform that exists as if this is the platform. I'm referring to the Oslo Accords that set down on the ground the two-state solution that divided the land of Israel into areas A, B, and C, areas that are under full Palestinian control, the control of the Palestinian Authority, which is totally illegitimate, divided this land in Judea and Samaria into areas A, B, and C. Areas A are under full control of the Palestinian Authority, which is a branch of the terrorist organization called the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Areas C are, up until recently, under full Israeli control. And areas B have overlapping controls, which means that Israel, up until now, has been responsible for all of the security in areas C and B, and the Palestinian Authority were responsible for the security and all of the municipal issues in areas A, but they were also responsible for all of the municipal issues in area B, which meant that the Palestinian Authority had the power to grant building permits in all of areas A and B. Now, I know that this is confusing, and if you look at a map of the situation, it's even more confusing, because there it's like spots on the map. It's like somebody spilt something on the map, and there's stains. And the stains, these dark stains, these brown and yellow stains on the map of the heartland of Israel, these stains represent the areas of control of the Palestinian Authority. Anyway, this whole situation came out because of the Oslo Agreement that brought in the PLO, the terrorist organization, from Tunis, and granted them powers to control this areas in Judea and Samaria, and to become a government for the Arab population in this area. Now, just recently, after President Trump's visit to Israel, all of a sudden, the Israeli government decided to grant more powers to the Palestinian Authority, to this terrorist gang. This terrorist gang, by the way, who pay salaries, they continue to pay salaries to terrorists who murdered Israeli citizens and American citizens and British citizens here in Israel, in the heartland of Israel, in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, in Judea and Samaria. So this terrorist organization, the PLO, is receiving grants from the international community. They're using this money, a good part of this money they're using, to pay terrorists who killed Israelis, Jews, Americans, British, Palestinians, Arabs, who killed Arabs. It's crazy. This is outrageous. It's incredible. Now, I'm glad that President Trump brought this up in his meeting with Mahmoud Abbas, Abu Mazen. When Abbas came to the White House, President Trump said, you need to do something to stop the payments to terrorists. And then again, when they met in Bethlehem, the reports are that President Trump shouted at Abbas. He said, you lied to me, because he found out that although he said that he was stopping the incitement, he was continuing the incitement, and he is paying salaries to these terrorists. But still, this is going on. The Palestinian Authority is continuing to pay these terrorists. And I'm bringing all of this up. I don't suspect that this is news to you, because we all know about this. We know that the PLO, the Palestinian Authority, are paying salaries to terrorists who killed people. And this is a big scale. There are hundreds of terrorists sitting in prisons in Israel, and their families are receiving benefits from the Palestinian Authority. And of course, this is a great incentive to go out and commit acts of terrorism, because the amounts that they are paying to these terrorists in prison are greater, substantially, than the salaries that are available in the Palestinian Authority area. So this, you know, the same old, but now with the new administration, the new American administration, I had hoped that the administration would change its attitude towards the PLO, towards the Palestinian Authority, and towards the two-state solution. But no, they just picked up where Obama left off, and they're continuing to engage with the PLO, with the Mahmoud Abbas, and continuing with this twisted idea that we will achieve peace in the Israel and in the Middle East by granting the PLO more powers in this region. And their ultimate goal is to establish a Palestinian state in the heartland of Israel, if not in all of Israel. This whole concept was a huge mistake to begin with. The whole Oslo process was a mistake. It started out as an underground by extreme left-wing activists who met with the PLO back in the 80s and 90s when it was illegal in Israel to engage with the PLO. And then they dragged in Israel's government and signed this agreement. And this is 20 years, over 20 years has been going on, and it's actually been proven to be a huge failure. The whole two-state solution idea was a huge failure. The whole idea of empowering the PLO and giving them powers of government in Judea and Samaria was a huge mistake. And now, after the Trump administration came in America, and we were hoping that the Trump administration would rethink the mistakes of the past American administrations who had supported this, again, the American administration under President Trump is pressuring Israel to give in to the PLO and to give them more powers. And we have seen this in recent weeks where Israel, the Benjamin Netanyahu government, extended the powers of the Palestinian Liberation Organization's Palestinian Authority, and is now given them the power to approve tens of thousands of illegal buildings by Arabs in Area C, which up until recently was under the authority of Israel's government. So, on the one hand, Israel's government effectively is freezing building for Jewish homes in the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria, in Beit El and in the Shomron and in Efrat. The government is not allowing new building permits for Jewish residents. But on the other hand, on the flip side, they are giving more and more permits to the Arabs to build in Judea and Samaria. And over the past couple of days, a huge scandal came out showing that the Israeli government had allowed the building of 14,000 new homes in Kakilia, which is right near Kfar Saba, between Kfar Saba and Tzofim. We'll be speaking about that after the short break. So we're going to take a short break, but don't go away. Come back after the break, and we're going to talk about what's going on in Kakilia.
There was a time you didn't worry about terrorism. It was something that happened in a faraway place or to someone else. But now you want to know. Now you want to understand. Now you're afraid that you might be in the danger zone. You need to listen to Gadi Edelman on The Danger Zone every week, where you will find out the truth about what is going on in the world around you. Gadi Edelman on The Danger Zone, right here on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, friends, we are back. This is David Ha'ivri. Thank you for staying on after the commercial break. We're talking about our very special guests who are coming to the land of Israel. And what I would like to do is to suggest that our friends, well, they're not personal friends, I have never met Mr. Greenblatt and Mr. Kushner, but of course we are friends of the American people, and we appreciate the Trump administration, and we appreciate their efforts for the future of the people of Israel and the nations of the region. I'm just concerned that the direction that they are taking is not a good one. I'm concerned that the Trump administration is picking up where the Obama administration left off and continuing to support the Palestinian Authority and the two-state delusion idea. It is a delusion. This is a bad idea. It was always a bad idea, dividing the land of Israel, establishing a separate state in Israel's heartland, in Judea and Samaria. Was a terrible mistake. We're paying a great price. We, all of the people who live here, Jews and Arabs together, who live here, are paying a terrible price for the mistakes of the two-state delusion. And it is time to put this aside, put aside the Oslo idea, the two-state solution, the idea of establishing a PLO state in the heartland of Israel. Put this all aside, and let's speak about alternatives that might work for the stability and for the future of the people who live here. Jews and Arabs live here in the land of Israel. So some people, and I would say that they are delusional, people like Shimon Peres, who's passed away, and Yossi Beilin, and others who brought us the horrors of the two-state solution and the horrors of bringing in the PLO to the heartland of Israel and giving them powers of government here. We've all seen how terrible this is. We've all paid a great price for these mistakes. And it is time to acknowledge this was a mistake. President Trump doesn't need to get down on his knees and beg Mr. Mahmoud Abbas, "Oh, Mr. Abbas, please stop paying benefits and salaries to terrorists who have killed Israelis and Americans." President Trump does not need to beg him. President Trump has the ability to stop all of the funding that the United States State Department and other American agencies are providing to the Palestinian Authority and say, "No, you guys have failed. The Palestinian Authority is a bad, bad operation. If you don't understand, if the Palestinian Authority, if Mahmoud Abbas doesn't understand on his own that paying benefits to terrorists is bad, then no one needs to convince him. He needs to be arrested, thrown in prison, in some dungeon somewhere, not far away from here, and a new infrastructure needs to be established to provide the services, the positive services that the residents of this region need to receive. Obviously, the state of Israel has controlled this area for the past 50 years. Israel captured, liberated Judea and Samaria, the heartland of Israel, in 1967 in the Six-Day War. And since then, Israel has effectively administered this region. It is time that Israel apply its sovereignty to the heartland of Israel, to Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria, to the Golan. It actually has in the Golan, and this needs to be done in Judea and Samaria as well. There needs to be one law in all of the state of Israel, west of the Jordan River, through to the Mediterranean Sea, which, by the way, is a very tiny, tiny area, and we're going to be speaking about that some more. Israel needs to apply one law, the law of the state of Israel, and the residents, the non-Israeli residents who live in this region, need to make a decision. They need to decide if they have aspirations to live in a Muslim terrorist state, then they're going to have to go somewhere else and fulfill their dreams in another land. If they wish to live in prosperity and be part of the state of Israel, then they need to align with the state of Israel and do whatever is required to become citizens of the state of Israel, or to be a loyal residents of this country and not be part of the state of Israel. If they have a theological or political problem with being a citizen of the Jewish state, and they wish to live here peacefully and manage their business or their agriculture or whatever it might be, and just live here. There are similar situations in countries all around the world where people who are residents but not citizens of the state, because they feel comfortable living in those same countries. Anyway, getting back to the special VIP guests who are arriving in Israel, Mr. Greenblatt came a day earlier in order to go to the Shiva, to the mourning, to comfort the family of Hadas Malka, the border police officer who was killed in horrific terror attack in Jerusalem the other day. Mr. Greenblatt went to comfort the family, to express his sympathy, and that was very noble of him. He came, this is what the media is reporting, he came a day early in order to be able to do that. These two gentlemen have come, or coming to Israel, in order to try to advance peace in the region. I think that with all due respect to men who have succeeded in law and business in New York City, I know that Mr. Greenblatt spent some time here in Israel, in yeshiva, some years ago. But still, a one-year program in a yeshiva in Israel is not sufficient to understand the realities in the Middle East, in Israel. And I would suggest that both of these men, before they go shuttling back from Jerusalem to Ramallah and so forth, they should come and explore the land. They should meet the people who live here. They should visit the towns. They should visit the schools, the communities, the recreation centers, just feel how society works here. And I would be glad to host a day, 2 days, a week, a month, just to take these dear men by the hand and take them from stop to stop to meet people here in the land of Israel. Let's go to Hebron and meet with Ishai Fleischer and visit Ma'arat HaMachpelah, the ancient biblical burial place of the fathers and mothers of the nation of Israel, and read the verses from the Torah that tell us that our father Abraham purchased this plot of land, this cave, in order to be a burial place to his family. This is the place, the city of Hebron, where our king, King David, who united the tribes of Israel into one kingdom, King David, his throne was in Hebron for 7 years before he moved to the city of David in Jerusalem. Let's go to the city of David and meet with Zev Orenstein, who hosts guests from around the world and shows them the historical artifacts at the archaeological site of the city of David, south of the Temple Mount. Let's go through the tunnels and come up along the western wall and visit in the old city of Jerusalem and see where so much Jewish history and theology emerges from, the connection of the Jewish people to this land, the phenomenon of the nation of Israel, who lived in the diaspora for 2,000 years and faced Jerusalem in prayer to this day, three times every day, and prayed to rebuild that holy city and to rebuild the towns and villages of the Judea and Samaria, the hills of Israel. Let's go to Jewish communities, modern Jewish communities in the Shomron. Let's go, Mr. Greenblatt and Mr. Kushner, let's go and visit Barkan, a secular Israeli town on the hills of Shomron, overlooking the seashore area, overlooking the greater Tel Aviv. From Barkan, you can see from Gedera in the south to Chedera in the north, you can see the great population mass of the state of Israel. From that site, you can realize that 80% of Israel's Jewish population live right under this area, right under Barkan. See the beautiful homes in this community in Barkan, the recreation center, the swimming pool, the school that we built in memory of Prime Minister Netanyahu's father, Professor Ben-Zion Netanyahu, this school where children from all of the surrounding communities, Alei Zahav, Nofim, Barkan, go and study in this school. Let's see the factories in Barkan. There are 160 factories that provide workplaces and well-being to Arabs and Jews who live here. The Arabs who are non-Israeli citizens are receiving Israeli wages, working in friendly and safe work environments. That's a huge benefit that you might not be aware of, and you should come here to the Shomron to see this for yourself. Let's walk around in the factories and speak with Jewish and Arab employees of these factories who work shoulder to shoulder. These are just some of the complexities that people who are interested in solving problems here need to be aware of before they set out to solve the problems. You can't come here with from New York City, a business mind, and run into Ramallah and Jerusalem and say, oh, let's make a deal. We're not talking about a deal. We're talking about the future of our people, the future of our land, that connects, of course, with our history and with our theology, with our religion. There is so much at stake here, and the issues are complex, to put it lightly. So, of course, you need more time to get down and understand the reality on the ground. We're going to take a short commercial break, so hang in there and come right back.
I am Walter Bingham. For the past 12 years, I have each week brought you reports of life and events in Israel and the Jewish world and the news behind the news. The Walter Bingham File, new here on Israel News Talk Radio, will explain the truth to enable you to counter the myths that are spread by the world's media. So if you want to have the facts and without spin, then tune in to The Walter Bingham File every Sunday at 5 p.m. in Israel, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back. This is David Ha-Ivri, and this is A Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. I was describing the tour, or some of the points of interest that I would be glad to show Mr. Kushner and Mr. Greenblatt, who have come to Israel in order to assist Israel in our relations with our internal and external neighbors, the Arabs. I pointed out that for the past two decades, we have been stuck in this loop, the Oslo loop, which has been a huge failure. It was a mistake to begin with, and it is time to take that off the table. I suggest to our friends, the American administration and their envoys and diplomats who wish to assist Israel, they need to spend more time here on the ground, meeting the people and seeing the sites. I was describing some of the sites that I think would be really important for our guest to see before they start engaging and suggesting deals. You need to know what's at stake. You need to know what our what's important to us. So come and spend some time in the land. Just live here, ride the roads like normal people, not in your armored envoys, your armored convoys from Jerusalem to Ramallah. Come and visit out deep in the Shomron. Let's go to Elon Moreh and see the path that the children of Israel took when they entered the land of Israel under the leadership of Joshua, Yoshua bin Nun. Let's go visit the vineyards in the mountains of the Shomron, those vineyards that the prophet Jeremiah spoke about over 2,000 years ago. He promised the children of Israel that again they would plant vineyards in the mountains of the Shomron. And today you can see Jewish farmers who are growing vineyards in these mountains. These vineyards were not here 20 years ago. Everything was desolate. Everything was destroyed. Everything was dry and burnt out. And these young farmers came and dug in the land and planted the vines in order to fulfill the words of the prophet. And today they are producing award-winning wines. There are more and more boutique wineries. It's a phenomenon, and it is something that people, our friends from around the world who wish to come and to share their wisdom on how we can make a deal, they first need to come and see this for themselves and understand what this means to us, to the people of Israel, why this is important to us. We're not the deal that we're looking for is not selling a used car or buying a old sofa. We are talking about the future of our nation in our homeland. And this area, Judea and Samaria, is not a bargaining chip for some kind of deal. This is a permanent asset of the children of Israel. This is the land that we faced for 2,000 years and prayed to return to. We prayed to God, to Hashem, to have mercy on the children of Israel in the diaspora, in the forced diaspora, in the exile. We prayed to return to this land. And today, when we are finally here, we don't mean to leave this land again. We're not hanging on to the land as some kind of an asset that we can turn over in order to gain some kind of recognition. This is the base. The base of our connection to the land is here in Judea and Samaria. Let's go up to Mount Bracha, to Har Bracha. Har Bracha is Mount Gerizim. Mount Gerizim is the mountain of the blessing in the Bible. The Bible tells us that Joshua, Yoshua bin Nun, led the 12 tribes of Israel into the land of Israel, and they gathered between two mountains, Mount Gerizim in the south and Mount Ebal in the north. The Kohanim, the priests, the sons of Aharon HaKohen, stood in between these two mountains with the Ark of the Covenant, and they read off the blessings and the curses of the Torah. They faced the mountain in the south, Mount Gerizim, and they read off the blessings. They said to the nation of Israel, if you abide by this law, the law of the Torah, you will be blessed. And the entire nation answered, Amen. They faced the mountain in the north, Mount Ebal, and they read off the curses. They said, if you do not abide by the law of this Torah, you will be cursed. And the entire nation answered, Amen. This place, Mount Gerizim, the Mount of Blessing, is very significant to the children of Israel. Let's go and visit the Jewish town on top of Mount Gerizim, which is called Mount Blessing. The town itself is called Mount Blessing. Har Bracha. Bracha is a blessing. And there is a winery there called Mount Blessing Wines. Yekev Har Bracha. Let's go and have lunch there at the restaurant at the Mount Blessing Winery and taste the wines and hear the story of Nir Levi, who studied in the yeshiva at Har Bracha and felt this urge to reconnect, to revive the land of Israel, and went out and pushed stones, huge stones away, and planted rows of vines, and today is producing award-winning wines. That is something that you need to realize, you need to feel this and see this for yourself before you come and try to push a deal. We want peace, but we don't want a deal. We don't want something that will come at expense of our land, our heritage. This is the heritage of the people of Israel. let's go and meet with the Samaritans, the good Samaritans on Mount Gerizim. They consider that mountain the holy mountain to them. At the time of the Second Temple in Jerusalem, the Jewish people had the Second Temple in Jerusalem. The Samaritan people had a temple on Mount Gerizim. They consider that mountain to be holy. They too have a Torah in their synagogue. And they too believe, as we do, that they were led by Joshua into the land of Israel. You need to come and see, you need to come and meet, you need to come and feel this for yourself, to feel, to understand the connection of the people, the Jewish people who live here in the land, to understand why this is so important to us. So I urge you, American envoys, who are coming to help us with a deal, come first and tour the land. Like the spies in the Bible, in the Torah, last week we read the portion of Shlach Lecha. Moses sent out spies into the land. Yoshua and Kalev came back and they said the land is very good. We too believe that the land is very, very good. Very good. My friends and listeners, thank you for joining me. I want you to know that I am involved in a new program on the internet that you can subscribe to wines from the land of the Bible. I was just speaking about the wines of Mount Gerizim, of Har Bracha, and there is a new website called BibleWines.com that was launched by David Mark from the Israel Rising Group, and this is a great program where you can access online, you can subscribe to a monthly wine club. Join our monthly wine club. You can check out this site. It's BibleWines.com. I'm going to share the link in the description. And you can receive a monthly bottle of wine from the heartland of Israel. It's a great, great idea. I'm glad that David Mark came up with this. And I urge you to join this program because you're going to love these wines. There's a conference coming up, the Jewish-Muslim Dialogue with Mudar Zaharan and a whole bunch of other great speakers who are going to be gathering. I'm going to be speaking at this conference too in Jerusalem. In just a second, I'm going to look at the poster for this. I posted it on my Facebook and all of that. The Jewish-Muslim Dialogue Center is having a conference called The Jordan Option, The Only Road to Peace. So I've been speaking about the problems of the two-state solution idea, and some ask, if not the two-state solution, then what? Well, I'm glad that people are now asking, then what? There are other things that we should be, there are other ideas that we should be speaking about, and the Jordan option is definitely one of them. So there are about 15 different speakers who are going to be speaking at this conference, and there'll be Mudar Zaharan and Dr. Martin Sherman and Michael Ross and David Badin and Dr. Mordechai Kedar and myself and other people. So check this out. The Jewish-Muslim Dialogue Center. I'm going to share a link for this in the description for the show too. Go over to their Facebook page and like the page and make reservations to take part in this event. I think it's going to be an exciting event. And of course, I appreciate the initiative by Mudar Zaharan. He has been a guest on the show in the past, and I'm sure we're going to hear from him again here on the show in the future. And I'm glad that he is offering, he and the other speakers are offering alternatives to this failed concept that should definitely not be, the Oslo idea should definitely not be the dominant proposal for peace. We don't want to give away a piece of the land of Israel. We want to live in peace and prosperity for the people who live here and for the children in their future. We have seen that the Oslo two-state solution has been a huge failure, and we don't like that. So I've spoken about the Bible wines, and I've spoken about the Kushner Greenblatt visit to Israel, and the two-state failure And the Jordan option that we will be hearing more about at the Jewish-Muslim Dialogue Conference that will be taking part in Jerusalem. I look forward to seeing you there. As always, I urge you to send me any comments about the show. Send me your talkbacks on Israel News Talk Radio or on Facebook, Twitter, or wherever you might be interacting with me. Feel free to go over to my website, haivri.com, and send me a message and tell me what you think and topics that you would like to be hearing about on the show. And let me know when you come to Israel, because I want to see you here in the heartland of Israel. Shalom.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
New shows are posted every Thursday at 7 p.m. Israel time, highlighting the lighter side and advancing a positive view of Israel here on Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.